Now, can you sit there comfortably and quietly while I'm talking? So it's a big night, isn't it? I have been told that Santa Claus is coming tonight. Have you heard the same thing?
Yeah.
Is he going to fill our stockings?
Have you been good? I don't know what you think about old Santa, but for me it's just so easy to close my eyes and I can see the whole thing. I can see the red suit and the beard white as snow and the little round belly that shakes when he laughs like a bowl full of jelly. And I know the whole routine, you know, the stockings and the chimney and... That's right. Reindeer sleigh also. All this stuff. I know all this stuff. And I have to tell you the truth, I still get so excited about it every Christmas Eve. How about you? Yes, what would you like to say? Milk and cookies is a good idea. You have to fall asleep, absolutely right. And that's hard to do tonight. I hope you can. But, let's be honest, this is not what we're really here to celebrate tonight, is it? What are we here for? Yes?
Celebrate the birth of Christ.
To celebrate the birth of Christ, that's very good. Or I like to think of it as the coming of the Lord. You notice when the angel announces, she announces that it is Christ the Lord. She doesn't even say Jesus. She doesn't really care about who it was. It's about what is coming. And let me ask you another question. Is this all about something that happened one time, a long, long time ago?
No.
Or is it about something that's happening even now, happening even tonight? Well, we're going to sing a song at the end that says, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." And that's kind of strange English. It doesn't say the Lord has come, although the Lord has come. And it doesn't say the Lord is coming. It says the Lord is come. It's both and. The Lord has certainly come. And He certainly came that long, long time ago to that stable in Bethlehem and laid in the manger to His parents, to Mary and to Joseph. And He certainly has come, I know, to many of the people here in this room in the past. And we celebrate that tonight. And He certainly is coming, I know, to many of the people in this room right now, this evening. And He certainly will come in the days to come, wherever He is needed. Now, how does He come? How does He come to us? It's different for different people. For some people, their hearts are so open that they just need to hear the good news of great joy from an angel, and they just get it. It can be an angel in the form of a teacher or of a parent or in the form of a friend, and on rare occasions, even in the form of a preacher. But they just understand when they hear the story, and they're ready even now to go and be followers. But there are other people who will hear the same story and they won't get it. They'll say, that doesn't make any sense. Why would a great king come and be born in a barn? But these are the kind of people who will actually work on the answers to questions themselves. And they might find themselves scratching their heads and going, well, maybe if He's not all high and mighty like that, then we understand that He's really with us. He is here among us. And they'll get out their laptop computers and they'll unroll their star charts and they'll start to plot their own course and their own journey, until finally they come to that Christ child too. And He comes into them. Now, to have him come into you, you don't need to make, you know, clean out a whole room for him to come in here and occupy. He's willing to take just a little place around the back, you know, just a little corner stall in a stable somewhere, just a dry box to lay in. Some clean straw would be nice. And even though one of these days he will be the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings, to be started, all he asks is to be born in you as a little baby. Just a little seed that will grow marvelous and wonderful. And as you grow, he will grow. And as he becomes more and more perfect, he will lead you to come closer and closer to the perfect person that he really wants you to be. Now that is a good thing to ask for Christmas. Dear Santa, please make me as perfect as I can be. Now a story. Reverend Jeffrey, we got time for a quick story.
You bet.
Okay. There was a farmer up north, up where it's a lot colder, and it was Christmas Eve, and just like every year, his wife and his children were getting ready to go into town to the Christmas Eve candlelight service at the church. And just like every Christmas Eve, every year, the farmer was preparing not to go with them. He wasn't a bad guy at all. He believed in God in his own way, which is the best that any of us can do. But if you were to ask him, he would say, "I just don't understand the whole Jesus thing, the whole Christmas thing. Why would God need to make himself one like us?" So he wished his family well. He headed them off to the car. He warned them to please be careful because the weatherman was saying that there was a big old winter storm coming up. But they figured it would be long enough before it would come, and it would come in kind of gently, that they'd have time to get to church and then get home and be safe. So they drove away, and the farmer went and he gathered up all of the animals from his farmyard and led them into the barn so they'd be safe from the storm that was coming. He went back into the house and he built up his fire and moved his chair up close to it and lit his pipe and settled down and took a magazine up off the top of the pile to do a little catching up on his reading. Well, the storm did not cooperate. The weatherman didn't have it quite right. It came a lot faster than anybody was expecting it to. It was one of those storms that's sort of like you throw a light switch and it just starts. The wind just started to howl and the snow began to fall fast and furious. So much snow that you could hardly see through it, and the wind was blowing it all sideways. It's what they call a whiteout. Can't hardly see anything. And so the farmer wasn't very surprised when a few minutes later the telephone rang and it was his wife. She said, "It's pretty bad here in town. I'm not really sure about getting back home after the church service. I think maybe we'll just go to my sister's for a while until the storm blows over. I hope we can get home tonight. I would hate for you to spend Christmas Eve all by yourself." But he assured her that the only thing that he really wanted for Christmas was for his family to be safe and sound, and he'd be perfectly all right by himself. And so he told his wife that he loved her, and to tell the kids too, "And I'll see you when I see you." Well, he went back to his chair, and he had just gotten settled back in, when all of a sudden there was a loud thwomp from outside of the house. And it startled him so much that he dropped his magazine and the pipe fell out of his mouth. And before he could even say, "What in the world was that?" there was another thwomp from outside the house and the front window rattled. And he jumped up from his chair and ran to the front door, threw on his jacket and his cap, which are hanging on the hook there by the door, and stepped outside into the fierce storm. And there, on the porch, right outside his front window, he saw two wild geese, big old Canada honkers, they call them. that had gotten so disoriented in the storm that they had flown so low that they flew right into the side of his house. And they looked dazed and confused, but they didn't look like they were hurt. And the farmer looked around and he looked out into his farmyard, peering through the snow, and he could see the shadowy figures of a whole flock of geese. There must have been 18 or 19 of them. And they're just walking around looking like they're lost, like they don't really know what to do. And the farmer thought, oh my goodness, you know, in this kind of weather, they may not be able to take off and fly. And if they do, with this snow like this, they may not be able to find their way. They're going to be completely lost. I need to do something for them to make sure they'll be safe from the storm. Wouldn't you do that? So he ran to the barn, and he opened the big old barn doors, and he went to chase the wild geese into the barn. But as he ran around, shoo, 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 like they just scattered in all directions. You know, it's kind of like when you put your arm into the fish tank, you know, and try to grab one of the fish there, and they all just swim around every which way, and you can never grab one of them. Well, that's what it was like for the farmer, trying to get these geese to go into his barn. And suddenly he had an idea. And he went into his barn, and he got one of his own geese. He kept three geese there. And he got one of his own, bundled it all up in his arms, and he took it out into the middle of the barnyard, and he put it down, and as soon as its feet touched the ground, it took three running steps and spread its wings and glided back into the barn. And all the wild geese followed. And that was when the Lord came to the farmer, standing there in the wind and the snow in his barnyard in the dark of Christmas Eve. The Lord finally came to him. He understood that they needed one of their own to follow. Like the geese, we needed one of our own kind to lead us to safety. And the farmer went and closed the barn door, and he never missed Christmas Eve at church with his family again. Which is the way it ought to be. The phone was ringing. So, it's Christmas Eve. What I wish for you is that you hear the good news from an angel, that you find a distant star and follow it. And as Tiny Tim said, at the very end of A Christmas Carol, God bless us, everyone. Amen.